Yo, buddy, how you doing, man?
Ooh, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm getting by. I did some weird stuff this week. I had because I'm trying to get my green card, as you know. I had all my green. I had to get my MMR jabs again because
MMR, what is
measles, mumps, rubella,
Oh, okay.
basically. And I had to get there were four separate shots, so I was kind of sore on. I haven't had my COVID shot. Of course, I think that's what some people assumed when
Now
they
you
were
had
watching.
four cover shots.
Well, they just see all the bandages on my arms on Wednesday, and they thought this guy skipped the queue kind of thing. But man, was I ever sore though? Like, and the thing is, I have to get it again for the green card, provisions, even though I have had them. I have had my MMR jobs in other societies, but you can't. We
In
live in a.
other societies, what are you from the past?
Well, I'm from Britain, right? Or
Okay.
Canada. They're thought of. I don't know if you heard about this, but
No,
some.
I know, but like the way that you said is like from other societies. It's like I
All
don't
right,
think no
yeah.
nobody talks like that unless you're from the 1500s.
Well, sometimes, sometimes people think I am with my backwards thinking. But I basically, yeah, I've had them in Britain and stuff. Like, in order to travel to India, you have to get all your shots again. But you can't explain that now that we live in a capitalist society. I swear to God, they look at my British stuff and they're like, "It's we'll just do it again. It's just it goes through your insurance anyway." And I'm like, God, nothing really goes through the insurance only. It all comes back to us. It's such an American way of thinking. Anyway, four shots. I was in lots of pain walking around. I forgot how much shots like kind of make your shoulders seize up and all that stuff. Oh, and I tell you what else I was told, that everything's gotten more expensive for anybody pursuing a green card in America. And I was asking why, and the doctors were all like, "It's the Trump administration." I was like, "Oh, that's nice." So he came in and he made things more. Everything has to be tested through the blood now instead of I don't know what they. I guess they used to just look at your eyes.
They used to, well, it's like in The Godfather. They'd just be like, all right, yeah, he's got something. Like they just looked at him and they're like, your name, and now your name is Don Corleone. It's like, what? My name is not Corleone. And then whatever, boom, here's your shot. But I'm glad you're ready. I'm glad you're ready for today's episode because we had a
I'm
great interview.
stoked. Yeah,
We had a
today was.
great interview with Nina Conti.
Yeah, Nina Conti, lots of fun. I mean, she's a superstar in the entertainment industry, outstanding ventriloquist, actress, comedian, you name it. Nina's lots of fun, and she showed up with a fantastic backdrop and lots of great stories that fit for us. It was really good
Yeah,
fun.
no, it was really cool to talk to her all about the just the way that she travels, obviously, because she's not like like us, where we just need to just bring ourselves. She actually needs to bring hair puppets. So it's like she talks about why she travels, that she has also lost some, which what do you do when you lose what you're hired to do? You know what I mean?
I was dying to find that out because if you're a ventriloquist, traveling with your doll is the most important part of your job, making sure it gets to the destination. So that was a fantastic answer. And I just want to let you guys know at the top, she's got a great podcast out, so you can catch up with her on that. And it's called Richard and Greta. And I love recommending her documentary from a few years ago, called Her Master's Voice. And it's all about her traveling to a ventriloquist convention. I remember watching it on the BBC when I was living in Britain, and I thought it was so fantastic. Francisco, you were saying too, you're excited to see it
I
now
want to
because.
watch it because I didn't know she had a documentary and like and I am very curious about that because I love watching stuff that's not stuff that we do, but it's also arts, because every artist has their own world, you know what I mean? And that's why one of the reasons I asked is like, hey, when you're in that convention like that, is everybody just talking and doing their voices? And it's like, she's like, yeah, that's whatever. And it makes sense because you're in a world of like, it's like with comics when we in a festival, we make fun of each other more and more and more because we're with other comics.
Yeah, you just reminded me, buddy. Like, when we're at those festivals and stuff, and you got like, and we're all hanging out, especially in the time of COVID, you really start to realize when comics get together, we're all like dogs at the park with our leashes off. But in the ventriloquist convention, like when comedians get together, there's probably those ones that are never off. Yeah. You know, they're still worried. Yeah. That must get on other ventriloquist nerves. Like when there's a ventriloquist who just won't stop doing his art form, you're like, fuck. It's like, because, you know, it's like when there are some comedians and you're like,
you're
not
just
on
chill.
Stage right now.
Yeah. Like, let's just have a drink and talk about normal stuff. We don't have to make fun of it, you know. So, yeah. I get that.
Oh, 100%.
I'm excited for people to listen to this podcast because it's a great interview. And I got to thank you again, JJ, for introducing this new artist that I haven't met from England and that are amazing and great people. So I'm looking forward for everybody to hear them as well.
No worries, brother. Yeah, I'm really glad she joined us. And like we were saying, like she is, she was great. She has great tips for us. And it was great that she joined us on our casual podcast about travel and the arts. So are you guys ready to get to know a little bit more about Nina Conti?
Yes, that's me speaking for everybody.
Yeah, that's right, man. Here we go. Enjoy, everybody. It's Nina Conti.
Bye, hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? We are joined by the phenomenal, talented ventriloquist, actress, comedian, you name it. Nina Conti is here with us. How are you, Nina?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Thank you for joining us. We're already having people already very excited. Baldi's already. Nina Hype. We already got people already excited about it.
See? Already engaged. That's the kind of magical touch you got, Nina, man. And I love your sparkly room. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Yeah, this is my gig corner. This is where I've been doing my Zoom gigs.
Nice. Right. We all have our corners.
This is the room where the cat shits and it's awful.
Oh, no. I had all this glam in my mind, but now you've placed kitty litter as a scent in my nose.
Yeah it smells bad. Yeah.
Isn't that great? I'm actually in my bathroom right now. I'm sitting on the toilet. I've merely fixed this to the top just to give you guys an illusion that I know what I'm doing.
Are you guys in the same city?
Yeah, we are. In LA. Yeah, we were doing this. I mean, usually hopefully we're going to get back soon to do it at the same location because that's what we're doing, but not right now. Yeah. Since we're doing mostly like interviews with everybody in their own places, like it's pretty easy just to do it just as we, you know, in our places. Plus, I don't want to be in the bathroom with JJ at the same time.
Yeah, it's a tight fit. You know, we're both in the tub. We fit ugly. But yes, we had a couch kind of deal going. But of course, as you're probably well aware of America, they've had some problems with this COVID thing. And at about mid-December, was it, Francisco? We were told that we weren't even allowed to hang out with each other anymore. So we had to start going from separate homes. And thus the podcast has evolved into this, you know.
I mean, it's really shitty in the UK. You're not even allowed to sit on a bench and have a coffee with one other person.
Yeah, really?
Exercising. So you can, if you get down, you have to like pretend you're doing.
You have to bring like you're doing like I'm working my triceps. It's
God, that's crazy. And because you guys have been up and down with your, I want to say freedoms, but that's probably from me living in America for too long. You've been up and down with the rules and regulations and stuff, haven't you?
It changes a lot. And I think the interest is really waning in what the differences are. In fact, I think I'm lying. I think we were allowed as of Monday.
To sit on the bench?
Sit down.
Yeah. I love the idea that that's an official, like, on the listing. Like, the government has released a new document this morning. We are now allowed to sit on benches. You can't feed birds, but you can sit on benches now.
Yeah, it's dire. It's dire. But it's nice to be doing something about travel. That's good.
Yeah, something that we hopefully get to go at it soon again. You know, we haven't, I mean, like me, I haven't done any. Well, I think JJ either is. For a full year, just being in LA. I mean, the only travel that we've done is basically like driving, like distances and stuff like that, but nothing like in an airplane or anything like that. So
yeah, no problem. Well, I mean, I have been excited when I don't go to Sainsbury's and I go to Tesco's instead. I mean, those are just UK supermarkets, but sometimes one, you know, not in my area. And just walk the aisles, you know.
Yeah, just I mean, I went to the farmer's market this morning, and now, like, it's like going to Disneyland for me. I get it. I wake up early. I'm like, oh, my God. I want to ride everything, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've had to do the same thing just to keep it excited. Yeah, just to bike an extra mile. See what's on sale at a different grocery store just to mix it all up.
Don't buy it all at once. Save yourself something to buy later. You know, your whole shopping list, then that's your...
Oh, yeah, you don't do it at the... Yeah, you do it every, like, you know, like every day. You're just like, well, I got to go buy some tomatoes today. You could have bought it yesterday. Yeah, no, I need to do it today. They're fresher today. What?
I also have stupid rules that I give myself, which is that I don't go to grocery stores on the weekends because they're so busy now. Mm-hmm. And also it's, you know, you never know when the crazies are going to come in and yell at you all for wearing masks like sheep, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I do have little rules. So like even yesterday, Friday, I took a look at my groceries and I'm like, all right, can I avoid the public until Monday morning? And that's what I have to do. It's a silly, nonsensical rule, but I'm like, okay, no grocery shopping. You got to eat what you got and survive until Monday. Stay out of the public.
Did you eat anything that you wish you hadn't?
No, well, I think that's the other good thing is it forces you to get through all your food. So I'm still working on, I bought a family size salt beef thing for St. Patrick's Day.
A what?
Well, it was enough to feed a family, basically, Francisco.
What did you buy? I didn't hear what.
Well, I bought it's the salt beef, you know, like St. Patrick's Day, you know, the very Irish. So it's salt beef, cabbage, all that kind of, all the fixings for it.
Oh, got it.
And I basically bought a family size worth because I'm a bachelor and I needed it. And I thought, well, this will do me. So I'm still making my way through it.
Dehydrated sounds salty. I mean, vital. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's...
So what is it, like meat and potatoes?
It's meat. I don't do potatoes because I'm on a keto diet. So,
Are you
as well?
Keto, yeah.
So keto is the one that you just eat meat?
So it makes no sense for me, but I'm doing it veggie.
Yeah, that's not
veggie.
Yeah, you don't have to. It's not just eating meat. You eat you can eat meat and two veg, but it's just certain vegetables and root vegetables and stuff are to be avoided.
Yeah, and but like ground, no good.
So you can still have. There's still stuff on the list, Francisco. You'd be fine, but potatoes, pineapples, and bananas are like they're off. So you got to avoid that shit, and then you just have your meat and two veg, and you'll be all right. So I avoided potatoes. I've got turnips, broccoli, garlic, salt beef, mustard, and pickles. That's my whole weekend. That's my weekend sorted. That's it. And then I'll go and into the public and get groceries on Monday. It's riveting. I know.
I'm in danger of becoming boring about keto. I won't say any more about it. It's just
I know it's really hard.
I think everybody's on a diet. I mean, I'm on a diet. I mean, I'm in
what
some
diet.
Are you on? I don't. I mean, I try not to eat crap. That's my diet. Like. Yeah.
That's the best.
You know, unless you get like a cheat day, then I eat that. But then, I mean, I try to just protein and vegetables and salads and all that stuff. So nothing that's fatty or carbs or anything like that. I don't need, you know, or like, unless it's like oatmeal, you know, or something like that. But, you know, that's, I mean, I think every diet is the same. I mean, I think people always go try to find like the one is like, you just gotta eat stuff that you don't like. That's pretty much it. Like stuff that you don't like, that's what you need to eat.
I've had one month no beer. That's new. I haven't done that since I was 12.
Oh, really?
One month of it, but it's only 1 month I'm doing, not giving up for good.
It does work though. It does take, and I agree with you, Francisco. It's just eating sensibly sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. It's also not eating like a lot either. You can eat like one good donut, like a little bite, and that's it. But you don't have to eat a dozen and yeah. and then feel like crap afterwards.
Because can I say, because this is not of course a podcast about dieting, but for one last thing about the keto thing is that because keto has become so popular, these high protein diets, I see those advertisements on TV where they're like, cooking is such a pain in the ass, but if you order keto from us, we deliver the meals to you. Mm-hmm, yeah. Have you seen all that? It's very popular on TV now, but I take a look at it, and to me, it's just portion control anyway.
Yeah,
so fun. even though they're calling it keto, you're spending what through the roof to have these little portions delivered to you, and people are like, "Ooh, it's keto," and I feel like, "Well, no, anything in that size would be fine."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's a pittance. So anyway, diet issues aside,
another backdrop comment from Lizzie Custer says, "Nina wins best backdrop," which is true. This is the best backdrop we had in this. In the few episodes that we've done,
She not only wins today, she wins the whole. This is our 17th episode. She wins now of all. You're the grand champion, Nina.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back for the backdrop off.
Yeah.
We've briefed you, Nina. We know that you know what to expect. You know, this is an easygoing chat. We're going to shoot the shit. We're going to dig deep and learn a little bit about the Nina Conti and learn about all of our travel habits and stuff. I think everybody in the chat knows what to expect. It's going to be lots of fun. We got 6 questions here for you, Nina. That's our format. It's really straightforward.
Right.
So if you're ready...
I haven't pre-written my answers, but I think I know kind of what to expect.
Yeah, that's okay. That's one of my favorite quotes that we always get on this podcast is that early on, the guest will often go, I mean, last week, Leary Dean goes, "These are questions that are personal to me, yet I'm still afraid I'm going to fail." So there's no wrong answers, and they're easygoing questions. It's just going to be a fun chat, and I think we'll hand it over to Francisco for question number one.
Great. Yes, let's start. The first question is what is your longest time on the road for a tour? I guess for work, you know. What if you were escaping something, but for work.
For work, pretty bleak tour of the UK that went from November till February. But I mean, there was a bit of a stop in between, but it felt like last
forever.
And that was just by yourself?
That was me and a tour manager. And that's a long time to spend with one other person, whoever you're with.
Yeah, for like all, like every day, right? Because you have to see each other every day, right? I mean, you're traveling every day. You're like,
I was embarrassed to have like stuff, it felt like, and I made me embarrassed. So I didn't want to be like, starry about it, so I was always like, "Oh yeah, no, I'll chat with you." And then by the end, I was thinking, "I really want to sleep. I can't keep this up." And I would always like slightly pretend I was stupid and couldn't like put my mic on. And by the end, I was like, "Why have I behaved like I'm an idiot who can't do anything? I just want my own thing."
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that happens. When I go to cities that I know people and they know they're coming, like I'm going to perform and they're like, "Hey, you want to meet?" And then you feel guilty because I'm like, I don't want to seem like, "Hey, I'm a big star" or anything like that. But it's like, yeah, I travel and I got to do a show. I don't want to talk to somebody. I want to go take a nap or work on my stuff or whatever, have my alone time. But it does make you feel weird to be like, especially you're like, "I don't want to, should I?" You know, like, how do you say to these people?
It's hard to explain that you're tired.
Hard to take a nap.
And I hate when they get angry, especially after you've done a show. Say you've done a 90-minute show, and then you have the meet and greet, and they're like, "Well, let's go to the bar. Now that we're friends, let's go to the bar." And you're like, "I gotta go back to the hotel." And they're like, "Fine, you're no fun when you're off the page."
And also, first of all, there's some people that you don't even know that, like, "Hey, you want to?" I'm like, "I don't know who you are. Like, why would I have a drink with, I mean, thanks for coming to the show, but like, I'm not, like, who are you? Like, I don't want to get killed here. I don't know."
That's the hard thing, too, because they feel that they know you so personally because you share your life with them. So yeah, it's a very hard thing. And can I ask Nina too? So November to February, but in British gigging, were you gigging every night for this tour, or did you guys have gap days where, like, you know, Tuesdays and Wednesdays where you had to, you were each other's best friends?
I'm a very kind of guilty working mom, so I try to do a tour with no one noticing.
That's a hilarious way of putting it. I just try to sneak off. I sit them with their food, and I go, "Mom will be back in 2 hours."
I put them in really early, enough time for me to get to the gig. Nice. Sleep by six.
Well, why are we sleeping? It's still noon, Mom. Just go to sleep.
Why is it just up, Mom?
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm a guilty working mom.
Did you have shows like just the weekends and then travel to other cities? Like,
I think it was about 4 a week. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And I try to go home in between. I don't know. I find touring kind of bleak, actually. I love travel, but touring can make me quite low, and I spend the day trying not to notice I'm on tour. And you know, it's weird what I do. I do a lot of shopping in the day, and I do a lot of weird kind of lost person stuff.
Right.
It's weird what you do with your time on tour. I never do anything useful or local. I go to the same Yo Sushi and the same Max, and like, I don't know what, I haven't learned how to do
There's nothing wrong with that. I think we've had that kind of answer. I mean, it's about 50-50, because some people are like, I can't wait to see something I don't recognize. But then, yeah, a lot of people love to travel, and you know, you need that comfort zone as well. Something that you recognize, somewhere where you feel, you know, like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And also, sorry.
No, you go.
if you have partied the night, because I always have a drink after the show. I have to. It's the best.
Yeah, it's kind of like a release.
Yeah, it's release. And oh my God, a pint of lager tastes amazing after the show. But then the next day, so I would start the day late, but then when I have a show, I definitely start feeling it coming from 3:30, 4. The day's kind of done by then, and I'm in hibernation until I do.
Yeah, the same way. Like, I remember doing something with people, like in a show day, like it's got to be early, because then I'd be like, look, I have to go get back to my hotel like at 3. It's like, well, your show's at 7. It's like, yeah, but I got to maybe take a nap. I got to take a shower. I got to get ready with what I'm going to do. It's like, and this is the thing people don't understand sometimes, or like, or sometimes we don't even, it's because with what we do, it's like, it's fun and it's shows, but it's still work. And even when we're still, you know, we're still traveling, we're still, it's not like, hey, I'm here on vacation, you know, like we're still have to do a show, and that pressure of performing and make doing a good show for the people that are paying to see you is a lot, you know. It's not just gonna roll in.
You need prep time.
Yeah. Sort of just let me have nothing. I have my important nothing doing time.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm doing a vocal warm up. It's just like nothing.
Yeah. It's really hard when you title it that way too. If you're two hours to show time and everybody's hanging out and like, this is fun, let's keep doing that. And you're like, I gotta go. Yeah. Like, what are you gonna do? Oh, it's my nothing important time. I've gotta go.
I have to start doing nothing now.
In order to clear all of this that I got going on, I've got layers stacked up. I can't afford. I need my nothing time. Yeah. It brings us to question number two. Nina, so you are well-traveled, and I was just thinking of, I have met your little boy a long time ago, though. I imagine he's
full grown now. Oh, my God, like he's 16 now, yeah.
So I met him in Wellington. I remember him swimming in a pool in Wellington when we were on tour there. But that brings me to the question of, in your travels, because he was tiny, but in your travels, what is your favorite destination? What is the most fun?
Are we talking gigs or just any kind of fun?
Like, you know what? Road?
Both. Yeah, let's do both.
Yeah, it's completely flexible to you. Whatever inspires you in your brain when you hear that question.
I love that you saw me in Wellington, because I've never been. But
Sorry, JJ. Sorry, I didn't.
You mean Melbourne? Maybe it was Melbourne.
Was it Melbourne? Okay, it was Melbourne. Sorry.
And if my son was in the pool, it would have been Melbourne.
Okay, yeah. All right. Sorry that I...
And you wonder why JJ's single. He came and said, hey, I remember you from like... No, that's not me. That's another girl. Oh, okay. You want to go eat some South Bay? I got leftovers.
I stalk women with young children at pools. Oh, I love the way, I love the direction that this is... That this is all of a sudden.
No, because you said that you saw her at a city and it wasn't that city.
I know. I could have sworn in that museum hotel. But anyway, all right.
Fine. Oh, wait, I wish I had been. No, I haven't. Yeah. No, I haven't been there. I've been to Christchurch, but Melbourne or Montreal, probably where we crossed paths in pools. Right. We did. I love Australia. I loved Melbourne. Absolutely love going to Melbourne and I miss it like hell. And that was the festival that just got cancelled when lockdown started. It was just like, it was holding on, trying to very last minute.
That's happening to a lot of these destinations right now. Everybody's hopeful that it won't be cancelled again.
Yeah.
You know.
But about Baldi said something that's true. Maybe Nina was throwing her voice to that woman that JJ...
Yes, that's it.
So that's why he got confused.
So that's it. All hotel pools have obviously blended into one for me. So
I took a dig in the Seychelles because that sounds nice, doesn't it? I mean, who wouldn't go there? And it was just a one night party that I had to do some entertainment at this party, but it was really frightening when I got there and I got this really strong kind of mafia criminal vibe. I didn't know who I performed for because they didn't even tell me his name. His face, I wasn't allowed to know his name and I couldn't see his face. And everybody was either South African or Italian. And I don't know where those nationalities normally meet. I don't know. And there was just a vibe. There was a vibe of, you know, class A drugs and people that you're not to know the names
of. Like they do coke from like a little like fan. Like they open the pen and they do coke there. It's like, that's like the fancy coke people, you know. Like,
is that fancy?
I don't know. I don't do coke. I'm just... figuring out from like James Bond movies or movies that I've seen on TV.
I think when they're really rich and it's just a pile of coke. It's like Scarface.
No, they don't want to be seen that they do it. You know, that's why. But that's a very mafia thing to do. Like where you don't know, like they don't tell you who the name is. Or
but it's a good thing, isn't it? Because then I could have maybe mentioned it on something like this, and then I might have been shocked.
Oh, yeah. But you don't know. Yeah, because that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are the gigs that you have to take, you know, because you don't want to say no, because then it's like, what do you mean they say no? It's like,
then you're in big trouble.
And I have these masks that I put on people, ventriloquist masks, and I put one on this Italian guy who was all like in a suit, and it was really scary. I thought, I shouldn't really even touch him. And I put it on, and he didn't really like it, and he was talking all the time underneath it, and I was like trying to make it move, do his voice. It was just like a cacophony, and then he went like this to me. Like let me take that off you. You're great. That's it.
That can't be good. We're gonna cut the act a little shorter, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't know who wants to murder me in this crowd.
Very important guy.
Sounds terrifying. That sounds scary. That sounds like the worst kind of corporate as well, because even as you're well aware, guys, like at Christmas time, when you're trying to entertain a Christmas crowd, for example, the kind of corporate that those parties, only 20% of them like stand-up comedy. Everybody else at the table generally wants to be bowling or doing some other shit
or drinking.
I can only imagine that in a room full of gangsters that have booked Nina Conti. So let's go even 50% at most. They're like, Nina Conti's here. And then there's a bunch of other gun wielding people are like, who the fuck is this lady taking up our time?
Is this middle-aged woman with a teddy? Is that a teddy she's got?
Is she? She's gonna put on a puppet show.
What the, what she's the? In a puppet show.
Well, the only good
when you don't feel confident in a gig, that's what I'm reduced to. Instantly, I'm doing a puppet show for adults.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about that is like if it's like the big boss that hired you, then you're untouchable. You know what I mean? Because they have to. It's kind of like they're going to have to laugh no matter what, or they're going to have to have fun. They're like, because they don't, you know, the big boss is like, Nina's my favorite, don't ever touch. So it's like, you're sad. You can make fun of them. They're the, you know.
If you say anything wrong about this lady, you'll be sleeping with the fishes.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the masks that you use in your shows. What are you doing anything different now because of all the masks thing that's happening? Like, well, how are you going to, how are you going to, use that to your advantage or not?
Well, they have to wear an actual mask and then Nina's mask.
I cleaned them before, but not so much.
Yeah, you can't take that casual anymore. They have to be.
Yeah.
I used to always say they were sterile. But now I spray them down with Dettol again and again, and the cables, I had them elongated, so I stand further away from the person.
Right. Oh,
I
can't
put it onto people anymore, and I used to do that quite fast. It was quite cruel to the audience, I think about it now, because I would just go, boom, you're in, and off we go. But now people are like, ow.
Which takes away the momentum on the show. Like, come on, put the mask on.
Yeah, so it's there's a little bit more fiddling, and there's more distance, but the few gigs I've been able to still do, it's all right, actually. People are just very happy that people are there, that something's happening.
That's good.
There's gratitude in the room from the beginning.
That is true. Like the shows that I've done too, you know, like you feel that people just, they obviously want to feel normal again, you know, kind of do stuff. Yeah. Like they always are happy to be there, you know. So
yeah.
I'm gonna guess you're still a little lower down. If it's sitting on benches is being restricted, I imagine having a Nina Conti place a mask on you is under that. So it's not until you can clear sitting on benches that eventually it'll be okay to have a mask applied to you.
Yeah, it's a long way off. I've taken a couple of gigs in July now. That's the next live performance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right good. On.
That's in the UK.
Yeah, in the UK. Yeah.
And is that hanging in doubt at all, or are they really sure things will be back up and running?
I mean, they're sure as they can be. You know,
I don't understand what's going on here either. Like, I took a gig the other day. I've taken the Venice Underground, Francisco. And I couldn't turn it down because it's such an iconic venue. But it's next week. I haven't been vaccinated. I feel like I might have made a mistake.
Is it
going to
be inside?
If it's in the Venice Underground venue.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, hopefully it's outside. Like, no, I think it's got to be outside because I don't think they're allowed to do still inside stuff. Yeah. I don't know.
I certainly hope so, but I feel so bad because Nina, you know what I'm saying? Like when an amazing gig comes across your table, you take it without thinking.
Yeah.
And I took it. And then you don't want to then say, you don't want to then cancel or say, I'm not sure about doing this because of COVID. Because that you'll fall out of, you know, what's the words I'm looking for? You just fall off the roster for these people, don't you? You take it and then don't take it. So I'm a little bit anxious about what I've walked myself into, you know, without the vaccines happening. But yes, I hear a lot from the UK of everybody going, you're not sure what the rules are on a day-to-day basis. So
that wouldn't be happening here. There wouldn't be anywhere that could be open that it would be on you to make the right decision. It's either on or off. Yeah, that's quite different.
I think every gig, it's like you got to take it and then you just feel it out. You know, that's what I've done. I think I took, you know, I have one coming up like in a month or, you know, and like I took that one like, I think it was like in the beginning of the year. And I was like, well, let me take it and we'll see. I'll figure it out. We'll see where we are at that point. And, you know, and I think it's going to be good at that point when I get back, you know, when I get to do it, you know. But I think you just have to feel it out. And if you don't feel comfortable, you just cancel it, you know, postpone it or whatever. or they will postpone it as well. I mean, I'm cool with that.
Audience, or that's up.
So they do. Those shows here in LA where they're all outside, and you know they're all only outside. So you do it, and then some people have masks on, some people don't, but it's outside. Mm-hmm. So, and you're kind of far from the, you know, on the stage or something. So that one, I feel safe for those. The ones that I'm doing inside is like, yeah, I think it's limited capacity. People do have to wear their masks, but only where they're drinking or like going to, you know, or something like. So, I mean, at that point, I don't get it. It's like, wait, you take the mask to drink, but you keep it. And then it's like, yeah, I mean, at that point, it's kind of like either you got to wear it all the time or not wear it, because that whole like in and out thing, I don't think it does anything. I think that's more like, you know, at that. So, the venue that I'm doing, it's like, it's going to be limited and it's spread out. It's like a big movie theater that turned into a comedy club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's a big stage. So like, you know, kind of like an orchestra, kind of like they even have like even that pit thing. So it's like, you're really far. So like,
really love in a room.
So if you're that's what you don't want as a comedian. But like for COVID times, I'm like, yeah, go there. I don't want to see you.
You know what would be great too, Nina? You know, with all the social distancing and stuff, that means you can start to move your mouth a little bit.
Yeah, but not on Zoom is unforgiving. It's like,
That must be really tough. That would be
I've had to really up my game. I've probably improved my ventriloquism since Zoom came along.
Wow, yeah, that's a good point. You really want to go back to live gigs so that you can have some distance from, so you can start to move your mouth a little bit and they won't be able to tell. On Zoom, you're gonna have to figure out how to freeze your screen or something. Like maybe
I take breaks by putting the puppet here like this.
Nice.
That's a smart move. Clever strategy. Move. They're very clever, man. That brings us up to question number three. Francisco, it's over to you, buddy.
Okay, so what kind of travel did you do as a kid for family holidays?
Oh, yeah. God. I didn't have many family holidays. I would sometimes go to Scotland with my mom, but my dad did a lot of travel with his work, and he's an actor, so I used to go visit him on his film sets.
Oh, right. I was hoping you would give this as an answer, because I'm excited to know, because my mom's familiar with your father's work. Of course, I think I think there's a lot of North American women who swoon over Tom Conti. But I'm curious to know where you got to go, he would be filming, and then you
very lucky. I got to go to so many places. The first really big one I remember was I went to an island that was called Rarotonga. And David Bowie was in that film. Whoa. So I him, and that was like, I was age 9 and
wow.
I didn't think I was ever the same again. I was fell in love with David Bowie and thought I was going to marry him. And then my dad made a film with John Travolta and I met him in Montreal and then I thought I was going to marry him.
You're just marrying people every time.
I was very deluded. I was very shy when I was a kid, you know. I think it's probably why I'm a ventriloquist. So I would go to these kind of exotic locations and just mute, just looking and taking it all in and thinking, what? How on earth do I ever get involved in this? This is like beyond.
That's awesome. That's really cool to be able to do that, you know. I mean, and is that where you developed the love of being in the entertainment industry to kind of like...
fun, but even from kind of such an side view that I had, it felt miles away, but it was, yes, it did seem, it looked like a really fun life. I mean, I've never made a movie, so I don't know, but similar, you know, you get to travel and everything, but movies, there was a lot of sitting, sometimes my grandma
waiting around,
would play cards in the trailer and go up to the lunch wagon and that kind of thing. But it's funny because those were the holidays, and when dad wasn't working, home was where he wanted to be. So it wasn't something.
Yeah. Right. Which now we all understand him, because as we tour, like that's what we want. It's like, you want to travel? Like, no, I want to chill. I've done traveling for so long. Like, I want to just chill for a
bit. We all love being home. Nobody understands how much you can love being home, and it gets harder when you get a partner. who, when you come home from the road and your partner is like, let's go on a holiday up the coast. You're like, oh, no, can we just stay in? Can we just stay home? But I'm doubly curious now. So if you got to join your dad on his film sets and stuff, did this require a lot of flexibility in your childhood? Like when you were in school, did you get to like leave school? Like, cause no actor's schedule perfectly fits into a child's summer. So I would imagine if he was doing a film and it's February, were you like saying to your classmates, see you later, fuckos, I'm off to such and such an exotic destination for a month to hang out with my dad.
I don't think she said that. I'd be like, it's like, you know, you're going to be back. You just call us fuckos. Like,
yeah. Well, that was my, that was my very accurate Nina Conti voice. See you later, fuckos. That's the way Nina talks, you know.
I think I did go on my holidays. I think I missed a little bit of school once when I was really young, I think I just went on the holidays and I was at school. I was at home with my mom a lot, you know. I was brought up mainly by my mom at home, I think, and then we'd go on these exciting trips.
Exciting, man. Okay, question number four, Nina. You're killing it. You're smashing it. We're halfway through. Question number four. And I just want to make an exception. You can't answer with monkey on this one. But
I can.
You cannot. All right. Well, I don't know. There's no rules to our podcast, but can I just say I'm hoping you won't? Here's the question, basically. Because I know monkey's going to be an easy answer to this question. What is an essential item that you bring with you on the road? Now, it can be a superstitious item or anything like that, too. And if you go, well, the case that I keep monkey in is very important to me.
Very precious case that monkey's in. What else do I travel with? I mean, I travel quite light. No, it's going to be monkey. I'm sorry, guys.
That's it? Okay.
Well, I'll prove it to you because the first time I met monkey, and forgive me the insanity of talking about him in the third person, but before I was a ventriloquist, I found this puppet monkey that was like, I was living with an actor and it was his monkey. We didn't really care for it. His mom had given it to him. And I got this monkey out one night, sort of party, and I made him hump something. I made him like dry hump something and everyone thought he was really funny. And then I took him on holiday with me because I thought he was, it's that funny humping monkey, I'll take him. But this before I was even a comedian, before I learned, before he even spoke. So I took him on holiday. That predates my career.
Just humping stuff, and that's what got it started. You're like,
humping got it started. It was a non-verbal act.
Well, humping usually starts a lot of things.
Humping.
the best cum face. It just push your hand through the latex, and he had this horrendous face. But it was. Then I'm not a huge fan of taking teddies on holiday. People who will take their same kind of manky elephant and selfie in front of the Colosseum and the Taj Mahal. I feel like I've seen that sort of selfie around. I'm not up for it, but then look at me. I am that. So
I know you've kind of, you're kind of the ultimate example of that because you need monkey. I mean, I assume, has monkey ever gone missing on a trip? And then they've been like, Miss Conti, it's 30 minutes to showtime. Are you ready? And you're like, I got nothing. I got a sock. I'm gonna have to go on with it. Has that ever happened to you?
It happened. I should have gone on with the sock, but it was too early in my career to have any confidence. I went home. I went home from Austria because he got lost by Ryanair.
Wow.
So you don't? Is it just one puppet, or do you have like several of the same one?
I only had one to begin with. I just bought him. I borrowed him from that guy, but I managed to start buying others from shops because there were toys that were sold.
Okay.
And that was discontinued. But now I have loads. I must have about seven in my life so far.
So it's like you're like a tennis player, like you have like 10 of the same. You know, it's like if you break one, it's like, don't worry, I got one. Let's go. And they're all the same. It's like, I mean, that's.
Yeah, she can.
I have to think of like do people actually have little talisman kind of answers for that question?
Some people have like I bring, in my personal, I do bring like a baseball a baseball, like an actual baseball, that because my dad, you know, he used to like baseball and he passed away, you know. So like I bring it just to, it's a thing to like, I mean, it's not like I use it to get, you know, it's just a thing just to bring, you know, but, you know, so some people have that. I mean, I think others are just like their notebook, you know, they're writing
joke book,
yeah. You know.
Somebody did have a talisman or something, but everybody's got a different, you know, different little necessity. But I imagine when it's part of your act, you know, you can't.
And do you carry on, or do you put them on the? Do you check the? You carry.
Yeah. Because we got lost once.
I'm gonna guess that she can't trust it to, you know, to watch Monkey just go away on that conveyor belt. Like, I'll see you at the other end, Monkey. And
scary.
And then he don't show.
I wonder what there would be otherwise. No, I think that box is ticked by him. So I haven't developed a different kind of comfort object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. That's a great answer. I mean, I just like finding out that it has gone. I mean, that would make me anxious every journey. I'd be like, I have to have this, because at least, I mean, this isn't even a romantic version of what a stand-up does, but we could arrive at a show and have everything stolen from us and still be able to go, all right, somebody put a potato sack on me and I'll go on and do some jokes.
Well, I did cancel a show because they didn't have a mic. Once, and I was like, I cannot do a show without a mic. Right. I can't talk for an hour. I'm gonna mess up my voice. I do voiceover stuff, and I was like, and also like it was like a college show, and like those shows are never like the best like set up. So it's kind of like if I don't have a mic, I'm just literally a crazy guy screaming to students.
Yeah,
it's there's no authority with. It's hard without really hard.
Yeah,
there's and really it's... like.
Yeah, and especially for like nuance and stuff, and if you want to change your voices or lean in or whisper or whatever,
you need that hour. Somebody's like heckling or talking loud. You have that. Like mic is the only thing that gives you that sense, like a sword, like that sense of like, well, I'm doing a show here. Without the mic, again, your power is gone. You know, so I did cancel that.
Especially at like a party. I mean, I've done my fair share of these private gigs.
Oh, yeah, parties.
Standing and people are sitting around the dinner. There's no stage and no mic and you're just someone standing up. Oh.
Yeah, in the living room, like you're like, and then like the grandpa's sleeping. I'm like, I mean, you can't make fun of the grandpa because it's grandpa's 99th birthday. And it's like, fucking grandpa, wake up. I'm like, I'm supposed to do 30 minutes on grandpa and he's sleeping.
That's hilarious, man. Yeah, we don't want to give you a mic, Francisco, because it'll hurt grandpa's hearing aids.
Yeah. I mean, I think now I learn like the more they pay, the more stuff I'm good with not having. You know, like if they it's like, all right, you want to pay $100,000? Yeah, fine, I'll do it while you guys are eating and I'm cooking the meal. You know, who cares? I'll do it right there.
Yeah.
I tend to have a sliding scale where I perform worse the more I'm paid.
That's funny.
I need to reverse that. You know?
Yeah, because it's like more pressure. Yeah, it's like you get like more pressure to be like,
you
like
have to really ask yourself how much you are worth it.
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes it happens that way too, of like when you do a corporate,
even because
it can be an like the fee can be great, but they don't give a shit. Like sometimes they have so much money that they're throwing. I did Chelsea Football Club once and Chelsea Football Club, and they had like David Beckham and Victoria Beckham impersonators and like these ice statues and all this. But they could give a shit about I was shitting myself the whole day. I'm like, this is the most expensive gig I've ever done. This is the most I've ever been paid for a gig. I better be on. And I showed up for the gig and they could give a shit. I think I was contracted to do 15 minutes. I might have done 6 and then got the applause and then just kind of like the David Beckham impersonator kind of waved me off. And I went, okay, I guess I'll be done now. I'll cash the check.
Yeah.
And here I was. I thought it meant a lot. They didn't even, and then they still come up to you afterwards like, that was great. And I'm thinking, that was not worth the money. But sometimes but you don't want to take that attitude. to a place where like we saved and scrimped and finally we've got a private performance from you, and you're like, well, they didn't care about me at Chelsea Football Club, so I'll just fart around for this one too. That would be that would then be disappointing.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. I think Francisco, we're over to you, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. The next question is, what's your favorite recreational activity while on the road?
Ooh, I don't know if I saw this question. Okay. My favorite recreation.
Oh, nice.
You know, having already said that you really love familiar things, so you like to find the same.
Or going to the supermarket. Tesco.
No, I don't like that. No, what do I like? No, I mean, I'm really like... think I'm not precious and that I'm not nervous, but if you look at the day before, I'm kind of, you know, massages, I probably get a few too many massages.
That's a good one.
You know,
that's a very good answer.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's some comics who I've toured with and that's all they want at the airport too, like even if we only have 45 minutes in between,
like the ones where people, I don't like that, like people, I need to be like by myself. I don't like people talk.
You don't want to be massaged while everybody's running for their planes.
I'm always face down in those chairs in the airport. Yeah, no, I
right.
Definitely. You like them.
Yeah, I do. I do. I like them. And I do.
Is it to relax you or because you have like a natural like pain? Like, is it because I have like, if like I did one in the mall in Vegas because I had like a natural like pain and, you know, like, I was like, man, yeah, all right, fine, I'll do one of those. But like,
we're looking.
But to like relax, I do prefer the ones that are like in a spa.
I prefer a spa, but I don't have to have a pain. If I walk past a nice looking massage place, I will think, oh, yes, I do. I have a pain. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you come up with like, oh yeah, I do have a pain here. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, fabricate any pain.
That's great. That's a good idea. I wish I could do more of it, but again, I like more of the ones that are like in a place, because I've gone to places where like if I have time, I like look Yelp, you know, and be like, all right, which is a good massage?
Good one, yeah.
Go and then go get one and stuff like that. But yeah, I like kind of like doing like a full like thing, you know, like.
But if you don't have a pain and you go for a massage and the person says, so any area you'd like me to work on?
Oh, yeah, then I'd make, yeah, of course.
Make one up, right? No, I'm just
here. I do have pain. I mean, yeah. I do have like, yeah, you can do, you know, it gets to a point where like, where we get older, where like, yeah, I mean, pretty much there's a pain there's always a pain every day. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I was, take a guess, whatever you want. Yeah.
It all hurts. That's a really good answer though. That's the first, you know, you are the first one to bring up the massage, but I say it, but I have toured with a couple people who are addicted to it. I never thought of it. I had a massage once and then got on a flight and it fucked my shoulder up, and I think that turned me off of it. I don't know if that's ever
happened.
Which
massage was that? Because it's like, if it's the one that they hit you a lot, that's what happened. What was it called? I forget what's the name or the massage.
It was like hot. It was hot stone, and it was a tiny lady, and she walked on me a bit, and all that kind of stuff. And I felt loose getting on the flight, and then whatever it was, 5 hours later, I got off the flight, and my shoulder was all fucked up. So I've seen massages as bad luck since then. But I just had a bad one. Yes, I probably just had a bad one.
Yeah, have you done chiropractors? Do you like that?
Is that with a click?
Where they just like...
I did one of those, and it was very good. It kind of made me cry and I felt silly. I don't know. And he said, oh, don't worry, that's normal.
It's weird.
He was very congratulatory of himself then as well. Like, yeah. It does release a lot of emotion. I'm like, but I wasn't emotional.
Wow.
Big crap. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man. I'm always weird. I mean, those always kind of scare me because, yeah, they do like, you know, literally like kind of like they could kill you right there if they wanted to, you know, like one big turn.
If it's done wrong, totally. I really want my back cracked, actually. It's been so long.
So you like chiropractors?
I think I used to see a chiropractor a lot when I was a kid because I had back stuff. But you know, having been in quarantine for a year, I mean, Francisco, well, and Nina being married, you guys have significant others, but I haven't even been hugged strong for a year. I think that's funny, but I do have that thought lately. I'm like, my back is probably gonna crack if some next hug I ever get in life. They're gonna hug me. I haven't been hugged in a long time, but it's okay. I'm at grips with it. But when I get hugged, I have a feeling my whole spine is just gonna go and line
oh,
up.
Oh yeah, that would be good.
At least we have something to look. We have something to look forward to, man. That was a great answer, Nina. It brings us over. We're at the final question of the question round, and I like thanks, Baldy. Somebody's put hugs for JJ in the thing. I didn't mean to make it sound like I really need a hug, but maybe I do. Anyway, Nina, the final question on our travel in the arts, a little roundup that we love to do is, it's really straightforward. What kind of tradition or custom have you encountered in another culture that you would love to introduce to the British people? That you'd love to bring home?
It makes me remember Barcelona bringing in the millennium, the year 2000, and eating 12 grapes for the...
Oh, yeah. I do it. I'm from Venezuela, but you know, we got colonized by the Spanish. So yeah, we do the 12 grapes. Yeah.
What is it? I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I would need you guys to explain it to me. What is it?
Well, I mean, Francisco, you should probably explain it because I don't know. I just found myself quite drunk on absinthe.
Well, yeah, that's one thing. No, I think it's a lot of superstitions, like to receive the. To welcome the new year. So you're like, grapes are like, you eat 12 grapes. It's supposed to be at the stroke of like midnight, you know, man. And you eat, and because they symbolize 12 months that you're going to have good luck or like, or money or something. But like, so you're eating like 12 grapes, but like, obviously you can't eat them like at every, you know, second, you know, so you eat 12 grapes and that's what it is. There's also like, you also eat lentils, supposed to be like something about money, lentils. Another thing is supposed to be like, you're supposed to take out your, if you want to travel, you go out with your bags to like the corner of your street. And that means that you're going to travel for the next year, you know?
This is all New Year's stuff. Cause I just think New Year's like somebody's just trying to get a kiss.
Well,
I think it's better than having to snog one of your parents.
Yeah. These are better. All these little things are better. Like, because I like the whole idea, like start the year the way you intend to carry it on, all that kind of philosophy, which sounds like some.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like in Venezuela, for example, New Year's is as important as Christmas in terms of family oriented. It's like you like need to receive the year with your family and then you go party. But it's not like. So when we moved to the U.S., me and my family, it was so weird because, like, our first New Year's here, like, it was, like, dead. Like, nobody, like, it was, like, another day. And we were, like, what happened? You know, because over there is, like, a complete party, you know, I'm assuming, like, in Barcelona, too, as well. So, like, so it all comes from that, I think, from, like, when you're in family, you got to come up with all this superstitious to kind of, like, keep the family together. I don't know. I'm just saying.
That's really interesting because I know like some of the other cultures I've seen, like there's the Asian culture hangs money on that Christmas tree and the kids get to take money and out of these all different values and it is referred to as being lucky and all this kind of stuff and
I was gonna totally interrupt. I was just remembering a card in Newfoundland. You might know about that and you're not from
Did you get screeched in?
I got screeched in. Yeah.
That's my part of the world. This one. Well, congratulations, Nina. That means you're an honorary Newfoundlander.
Yeah.
Oh, Francisco, this is gonna. I'm gonna have to continue to explain, but it's a bit insane. It's one of the more insane things. But if you're new to Newfoundland, they like to screech you in, which means you've got to learn. You've got to learn a little limerick. That they'll give you. You have to take a shot of screech. Screech is like
Saved by the Bell. Screech.
No, it's terrible rum. I don't. Maybe Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell. Screech might have been named after the screech, but Newfoundland screech. It's like man. It's I'd have to get a Newfie to explain it, but it's like toxic rum. take Jager. I'm glad we talked about New Year's because I was thinking you guys are talking 12 grapes, and I'm like, we all have 12 shots at New Year's. But that's the thing. So there's this thing called Screech. It's like a rum whiskey, you know. You take a shot of that, and then you have to kiss a fish. You have to kiss the cod, and that's what Nina was saying. I've kissed the cod in Newfoundland. So that's the tradition. So you do their little
and what
limerick.
Is that for?
It's for to be an honorary Newfoundlander. Everybody who comes to Newfoundland, we highly recommend that you get screeched in. So that
it's
you can
a welcoming, yeah. I thought felt yeah. Really good vibes. That I like that you arrive somewhere and people tell you what to do. This is what you're doing, and then you're yeah, it was great.
Yeah, yeah. Now that I've been doing this comedy thing for a while, but I have been to Newfoundland a couple times, and I've snuck that tradition up on a couple of friends. Of like, here we go, we're gonna welcome you to Newfoundland, and a couple of them did not like it. They're like, I'm not kissing a fucking fish, you know, and I'm like. It's just part of the fun. It's part of what makes you an honorary visitor to this land. But
I like superstitious. I don't. I think they're like just. I mean, it doesn't hurt. You know what I mean? But it might help you. So like, why not?
Why not?
Yeah, and it's a great conversation piece for the rest of your trip in Newfoundland.
Yeah,
you know, you can share it with Newfies and going, what the fuck? You guys made me kiss a fish. And the noobs are like, welcome to our little island.
And Nina, do you have any superstitions that are like for like bad luck that you don't do or something like that? Like, hey, like walk under a ladder, for example.
Well, I'll tell you one that I do because I was just thinking it's very much to do with travel. If you want to come back somewhere, you kiss the walls before you leave. And I do that
quite a lot.
You kiss the wall. You just go to the wall and you kiss the wall. That means you're going to come back.
Oh, okay.
And if there was somewhere like lovely and I didn't do that, I think I didn't kiss the wall. Oh, no. Oh. You know, I don't like that because it means I might come back. But it's embarrassing, especially if you're in someone's home and you're
what are you doing over there?
It's like, you've been in the bathroom for 30 minutes. What are you doing? I'm kissing the wall. You're like making out with it.
It's a compliment. I want to come back. That's a cool one.
I'll start doing that one.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that one. Yeah, I like that one.
My friend is doing it now.
Yeah, I usually do it. Like
the only way that you don't want to, the only part that you don't want to do that is if you ever find yourself in jail, you don't want to kiss that one.
No, I don't. No.
Because you don't want to come back. But yeah, but like I'm going to start doing that when that's cool.
Yeah, I really like that. That's so much smarter than doing a leave behind. So much better than I'll come back someday to get this t-shirt. You know, Nina, man, we can't thank you enough for hanging out with us. I mean, I want everybody to know who's listening. Nina's got a podcast on the go. It's called Richard and Greta. I've got that right, right? Right.
Yeah, that's correct.
Of course I got it right. And when the world turns back to normal, you're in for a treat. You should definitely go out and see Nina Conti live.
Yes. Go check it out. Go to what's your website where people can find you? Whatever.
It's my name, ninaconti.net.
.net. Okay, great. And also we have one question from the audience. Is Nina's documentary available to watch?
It is.
Because it was very good.
Amazon, I think that's on Amazon, but it certainly is in the UK. So it should be on Netflix too, I think. It's called Her Master's Voice.
Amazing.
What's the name again? Sorry.
Her Master's Voice.
Okay, nice.
That's my favorite way to travel, alone with a bunch of puppets to the ventriloquist convention in Kentucky. It's so bizarre. And I desperately want to go this year and I want to kind of report.
Is that the biggest convention for...
There's hundreds of everybody walking around with some weird ostrich.
So how does that work? Are people just like talking with it? Like, is it?
Yeah, people walk around like two-headed monsters everywhere.
Yeah, it's
flamingos, and they just it's everybody's got a puppet.
That's pretty cool.
It's so like another planet, but it's fun. Yeah.
I watched that documentary a few years ago when it came out, and it was thoroughly enjoyable, Nina. I really liked. I really loved seeing that little window of your life. It was really, really enjoyable.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, it was awesome, and that brings us to our final thing. You know, we always ask everybody if they have one last little piece of travel advice that they would love to hand down to people, or it could be great advice that you've discovered yourself, or something that you've been told. And we'd love to have this as we head out.
Useful. This has to be useful, I feel, but I can't think of a useful one. I mean, I'm always playing
whatever you want.
It could be bad advice if you want to sabotage people on the road.
I don't know. I ate my snack in the airport sitting on a bench facing that walkway. That was very pleasurable and funny watching people glide.
Oh, that's a good one. Is a lot of people watching that? Yeah, that's perfect because
it's funny watching like that leg movement and this.
That's a good. That's a really good one. I'm gonna do that one too. I'm gonna kiss the walls. I'm gonna do that one because that's actually it's kind of like they're put. Yeah, it's a slide of people just walking and you can.
And if you're traveling with a kid, when you come to get your luggage, you put a little toy on and watch it come around. It's a bit dicey in case someone takes it, but I like doing, doing that. I like watching it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah,
it appears for a long time. You know, it can be edgy.
Yeah.
I think those are. I think those are great tips. I often forget to people watch sometimes when I'm in the airport because I'm in my own zone, and I'll sit in a corner and eat my garbage food or whatever. But I think that's a great tip. You know, might as well enjoy it.
I actually think people have watched me one time when I think I had a too much of an edible before a flight, and I went and bought like I don't know Cheetos or chips or whatever, and then I remember just eating them like while I was waiting for the flight, and I just remember like just people. I think I saw people just watching me like I was on some animal because obviously I probably was just so fucked up. I was just like, you know, just eating nonstop with that, and so I've had that.
I'm so jealous you guys can have edibles over there. That's an amazing.
Yeah, it's especially for a red eye for when you. Those are the best ones because it's really like, you know, you have the midnight flight and you just want to kind of rest on the plane to, you know, so that's the best one to do in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if I could move to a community or state that doesn't have edibles now. It's perfect for flying. Just perfect.
It's perfect. It is great because it does kind of like, it makes it fun. Even like, just even going through security, through like TSA, you're like, well, I did get a little paranoid once where I was like, almost like, I thought like they were going to catch me, you know, because they were, and then I was like, you know, like, but overall it makes it pleasant.
Yeah, I bet.
Thank you very much, Nina Conti.
Thank you very much.
It's been so great catching up with you and so lovely seeing you. I'm glad you're doing okay and your family's doing okay throughout all this crap that the world is going through. But thank you for gracing us.
Too. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for talking to me. It's lovely to spend time with other people. It's not enough.
Yeah, now you can unveil the curtain and change the kitty litter. And off we go. So, thank you again.
All right, see you.
Thanks for everybody watching.
Bye. Thank you.
Cheers, all.